sometimes we are claiming to control and not even realizing it, you know, and not really fully submitting our plans to God, you know, because we're trying to figure out. As for me, I was saying, just because you're doing something good don't mean it's God, you know, and that's clinging to your control, you know. So have anybody else had that issue? Have you had that issue?
Multiple times. When you ask this question, the first thing that came to my mind is like, do I care if this doesn't go my way? That's, I feel like it's a sign if you're clinging on control, because it's like, all right, God, if you don't give me this job, well, I'm going to stop going to church. Or if you don't give me this relationship, I'm going to stop praying as, you know, as much as I am. So it's like you're telling God what you want. You know, it's like a cause and effect kind of situation. Like, God, if you don't do this, then I'm not going to do that. Which is, you know, that's not fair because God is sovereign, right? God knows all things. God knows what's best for us. We must understand that God is invested in the best version of ourselves more than we are. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know what's best for you. Okay? You just go out with the flow. Oh, I like this. I'm going to do that. That sounds good. People say do this. But it's like, until that moment where you just like surrender everything. You know what, Lord? Even if you don't give me what I want, I'll still praise you. And I'll still surrender my life to you. And I'll still be faithful to you. Because I recognize this life. I didn't give myself this life. You did.
Yes.
You're the owner. So I have to surrender.
You know, that's funny because I called you this morning, right, Jermaine? And I was asking you how things are going. And we were just sharing how we're in that transition of just trying to figure some things out, trying to get some understanding on what's next, you know. And what did he say? I don't really know, but I'm trusting God, and I'm being thankful for the situation. Is that what you said to me? You know, and he was on my heart this morning, so I called him, I reached out to him. So how do you feel about that question? Do you find yourself trying to cling to control instead of submitting or committing to God's plan?
It's kind of like, but I trust God 100%. My faith is there. Like, I have ADHD. So it's like I always feel like I gotta be doing something. And sometimes I get caught in the, like, am I doing the right thing? You know, like, is this for me? Or, like, God told me this, but I kind of get stuck in between, like, I don't know if I'm doing it for me or is this really God's plan? But it always made me think back into a lot of times to where I didn't know why I was in a certain place or why I was going through certain things in months or years or past. I'm like, wow, God, I had a plan for that time. But at the time, I was hurt. And I was frustrated and confused, but then time will pass and I can make sense. So that made my faith even stronger. So now, sometimes I go through the same thing. But I'm like, I'm just trusting God. Like, I'm trying my best. It's out of my hands. I just did what it is.
It becomes easier as you go through the process. And I think that's important because the more we get in our relationship with God, the easier it becomes to let go of those things that we don't have no control over and be able to trust them all the more, you know? And that comes from relationship. It comes from spending time in His Word and knowing that experience for yourself, because it's easy to hear from somebody else or their experience, but with having the experience for yourself is something different, you know? You got a question or comment?
Like we talked about this the other day when I came by, when we had that one-on-one conversation, and I still feel like I am struggling to claim my control. And I was just talking to my coworker Kua about it because I feel like I'm in this battle right now of, you know, not feeling ashamed and guilty of my wrongdoings and being able to sit down and repent to God because I don't want Him to see me the way I am right now. I want Him to see me, you know, glorifying Him, like, really digging into Him. So I kind of want to turn my back on Him in my eyes, because I don't want Him to see me that way. So I feel like I'm fighting those little battles. And I feel like,
can I ask you something? Do you believe God can see Him?
Yes.
So turning your back is not helping.
I know.
submit.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I want to tell you something. I tried that way. And you get held at a higher standard when you know better. When I didn't know better, nobody like Pastor Rob or anybody was in my ear telling me better, I felt like my consequences wasn't as severe. But when I started knowing better, than trying to, you know, play the game, like God don't see everything, it's going to hit you even harder.
See, that was one of the things I told you. I said, go into your quiet place and spend time with God yourself. You know, and just talk to him as you're talking to your friend. That's it. There's no secrets with God. You know, and the enemy wants us to hide. He wants us to hide. He wants us to turn our back to God because he wants to say, look, God, look what God is why. He sees what you did. He's the accuser. Christ went to the cross for that. He already wiped those things away. Now it's just your turn to just repent. And like he said, now you're at another standard because you know better. Now just do better. What's done is done. What's done is done. It's just, it's time to move forward. Don't allow that to hold you back.
And before you go, what's very important is you being honest and open and public about it. Because there's people three times our age that's keeping secrets, and they know better, but they're not saying nothing to nobody. They think they can just play the game all the time. They wonder why their lives never change and things always went wrong and things like that. Because they know better. They just don't want to do better. They're okay with being better, but it's a lot more sores. And I ain't perfect. I fight the same battles every day. We all do. But it's important.
You know, you look at people, you're like, oh, she a good person, she don't do nothing. But in my life, I did many things that I should have not done. But so what enemy does, he brings a spirit of confrontation, right? He
wants to say,
you're guilty, you're dirty, you'll never be good enough for the Lord. He doesn't love you, which is just a lie. It's just to separate you more from God, because he knows if you run God, you'll be restored and renewed again in his presence. And so those are the lies that the enemy constantly feeds us. So we run away from God. But if you think about it, where else am I going to run to? Please tell me, where can I find my hope, my joy, my refuge in? The only person is God. And so even though it feels awkward, it's like, all right, Lord, you know, I messed up. But he's like, I've been living for you this whole time. He's a good father. He's a faithful friend. He's waiting for us to come back to him. You know, to have that, you have to see God, like, he's not judging you. That's what he wants, like Pastor Rob was saying. The blood is still enough. The blood is so strong today. He knew what you were going to do even before you were born. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew every mistake I was going to make, failure. Just, he knew it already. Yet, he still chose us from the beginning. He's like, Erica's going to need me that day. And I'm going to remind her of my blood and my love for her. So be encouraged. Here for you. Listen, this is the only
thing
you can do.
Before you sit down, one more thing. And that's why it's very important to be honest with yourself and real with yourself and try to, you know, better yourself in all these situations, because the enemy gonna send people who you really, really love and who love you. And they'll use it against you. And that's when it'll hurt the worst. You know what I'm saying? Like, people you really care about will start doing the thing, throwing them right at you. And that's the enemy using them to come at you. But when you know you're being honest with yourself, you know you don't have nothing in the closet, you real, nothing nobody can say can bother you. Like, I get it all the time when different people try to, I know the old Jermaine. They don't know the new Jermaine. So they go off on my past and you this, you that. You don't learn from that. But honestly, they still in the dark place. So they don't know what it's like to be in a lighter place. So they don't understand my growth. But over time, I've seen them, like, understand, like, wow, it's not fake, you know? But that's from me not hiding up and being honest and real. But when you hide and stuff, the enemy will be against you, and it'll make you lose peace.
or that one, like, God. And I think, like, I feel like you can't turn your back on God. Like, you can't, like, he's always going to be there, like, ready. But I feel like, you're turning your back on, like, what you know needs to be done. You know, like, not really God. It's just, like, you, and sometimes, so, and I also,
what's up, buddy?
You don't always
what's
know
up?
What it is.
You had a good
like,
day at class? What you learn? What you learn?
Maybe like turning back on something, but I think it's
okay.
More like identifying what it is. I don't know.
I got a pink dog.
That's a doggy?
A pink one.
Oh, that's good.
We can never turn our back on God. You know, the enemy makes us believe that, but God sees everything. There's nothing that's you know, so the enemy give you a perception that God don't see it, or make you believe that God don't see it if you're doing something in the closet, you know, yeah, playing hide and seek, but you can't. Adam and Eve trying to hide from DC for where they was at. It wasn't hiding. He knew exactly, you know. And that's when, and just like Adam and Eve, God wanted them to be honest.
Yeah.
He wanted them to be honest. He was seeking them out to give them truth. He was seeking them out. And that's what God is seeking you out, and you trying to hide from. He want to hear it from you. Just let it out. Just bear it all, lay it at the altar so you can be free, so there's not no more of a baggage on your back. And that's what he's saying. Can you read chapter 1, chapter 16, verse 1 through 5?
The preparations of the house are belongs to man, but the answer is on his own. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his spirit. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go.
So it goes back to everything we were just talking about. You know, clinging to that control, wanting to have control instead of submitting ourselves to God and allowing him. And then trying to hide it. Then trying to hide it. God sees everything. There's nothing that we can hide from him. Yeah, we got a comment.
I've been listening to everybody here. And I'll tell you, 18 years ago, this person you see here now would not have been recognizable to any of y'all. I was trying to do it my way. I was trying to do everything with by drinking and trying to be slick and not do what God has asked me to do. He kept knocking on my door. So eventually he let me fall on rock bottom. And then I was homeless. I was in a homeless shelter trying to get my life back together again. And I remember exactly like that I was in that room by myself. And I looked up at God and said, God, I'm here. I need help. I will do anything for you if you just help me. And guess what? Later on down the road, he asked me to be a pastor. And I could not say no to God because I made that promise to him. But the point of the matter is, we cannot hide from anything God said. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All he's waiting for you is to make the choice.
That's it. You know, you said something very key, that you sought God. You know, see, God is he's always present. He's just waiting for us. He's at the door knocking. He's waiting for us to open it up and let him in. That's it. And each and every one of us are here right now because we made a decision that we're opening the door. And just believe you me, once we made that decision, the enemy was mad. And he is mad. And he's going to stay mad so long as we're here on this earth. And he's going to keep trying to close that door for us. But the thing is, he can't. He cannot close the door. We can close it. The only power he got is what we give him. So don't close the door. Keep the door open. No question. Can you read the key points in the lesson right here?
It's not wrong to plan, but we must recognize that God directs the outcome. Verse 4, God's purpose overrides our preferences. The wise submit their plans to the Lord in humility and trust.
Can you read the lesson? Yeah, you can read the lesson.
The lesson says, plan prayerfully, but walk open-handedly. Trust that God's purpose prevails, even when it directs your intentions.
Even when it redirects your attention, you know, and that's the important part. See, we have our own plans, but God is the ultimate plan maker. God is the ultimate plan maker. That's Pastor Ray Paul. So it's important for us to trust God's plan. So question number two. Want to read question two? On the back side.
Yes, I can, but it Eric is still got me thinking about what she was talking about earlier. Can I before we get too far, can I please speak on that?
Yeah.
You know, just like kind of feeling like you hide and stuff and like getting away with stuff. Some people don't like Pastor said. He had to hit rock bottom. I had to hit rock bottom. You know, Pastor Rob was in jail for, you know, a while. I went to jail for a while. Some people really have to, like, go that route before they learn, you know. But it's important for God to do that to you. When he got a plan for you, he wanted to prevail. He had to do whatever he had to do. Sometimes, but a lot of people don't go that far, so they think they can get away with stuff. But me, I don't want to go back to that place. You know what I'm saying? So I want to do things different. But it brought me to think that, like, if God strikes you down every time, you know, you did something wrong, but really, like, every, you know, sometimes we feel like we don't get a consequence, we got away with some stuff. But if we really got a severe consequence where every time we did something wrong, we knew we should better, the whole world would be different. You know what I'm saying? And if you think about it like that, you might not, the consequence might not be so immediate, but if you know and your heart is coming, you'll start making different decisions.
Question two.
Question two says, where might pride be hiding in my life and influencing my decisions?
Where might pride be hiding in my life and influencing my decisions? You know, me and Melissa was here. We was reading the questions because this is something I haven't done in the past. I didn't ask these questions. They've always been a part of it. But it was more so these are applications that you can use in asking yourself the questions after you read Proverbs. But I wanted to ask the questions ahead of time, and then we get into what God is saying about that. So it says here, what might pride be hiding in my life and influencing my decisions? You know, pride is a sin. You know, and one thing Erica was talking about, like, she made some mistakes and she was trying to hide it from God. Is that a sense of pride? Yes, that's a sense of pride. And it's also a sense of shame. And that's what the enemy wants to do with us. He wants to shame us with guilt of our past. You know, and even in our present situation. You know, why your situation like this? If God loved you, why he allowed you to go through this here? Why he allowed these? You know, and instead of us submitting to God, maybe it's some decisions that I made that I'm in that situation. They don't have nothing to do with God. A lot of the situations that we find ourselves in are self-inflicted. But we don't be honest with ourselves because we want to be prideful. And we try to blame somebody else. And this is one thing I said last week. I was saying that I was sharing God was dealing with me because when I went away, I was making excuses on why I was doing some of the things I was doing. My mom was on drugs. I had a dad in my life. Who whole bunch of different things, and God just said you still have a choice. You know, and that's one thing we all have is a choice. But what happens is our pride gets in the way. You know, and we don't allow ourselves to make the right decisions because of pride. I watched so many good brothers who were good while we were incarcerated come home with a whole lot of plans, a whole lot of ideas, but got home and maybe 6 months later, or maybe even less sometimes, I see them back and I'm like, did you have the family? It's like, man, I'm not working out here for those $75. I mean, $15. It wasn't even $15 back then, $7 an hour. And I'm like, how are you not going to work for $7 an hour? And now you're here, you're making 25 cents an hour. 25 cents an hour. And I'm like, and what's more important is your family. That's who cared and who wanted you and needed you more. So whatever you brought home added to what they didn't have before. And who's important? Your presence. But our pride get in the way. And believe me, I can relate. Because when I came home, I was a little prideful. My first check was $75. Yes, $75. And I was like, what can I do with this here? I'm feeling bad. I'm like, you know, but God showed me, he said, if you do something else, what are going to be the consequences? Who's going to suffer because of your pride? My family, the people who I say I love, are going to suffer for my choices. You know? Can you relate to that?
For sure. That's funny because you kept mentioning the verse that the Lord would have made something safe. The Lord would build that to me. So it was like a month ago. I was really mad at God for something. I was mad. But I didn't want to admit to God I was mad at him because like, you can't say that. Like, that's God. Like, how dare you? But in my crying, right, I didn't, like, the secret place wasn't the same. My worship time wasn't the same with him. I was just like, Lord, I'm just taking it today and keep moving. But I was really, like, upset with him until one Sunday morning. I'm like, all right, well, so you better let go of your pride. The Lord. So I told God straight up, I said, Lord, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you because you left me when I needed you the most. You weren't there for me, God. Like, how dare you see me go through all this and you didn't even care? And that verse, immediately, he's like, I never left you, nor forsake you. So I had to go to deep. I was like, okay, what does forsake you? That means I never neglect you. I never abandoned you. You always had my support. You had my support through the whole thing. I was like, I was just tears on my face. I was like, oh my God, Jesus. I'm sorry, God, for my crime because it's in moments like it's easy to blame God than blame or even take responsibility for your own actions. Because there was things in my life that I did, but I wanted to put on God because it was easier to do that than to face my own reality. You know? And God was like, no, sis, I was there for you. But the thing is, you didn't allow me to be there for you. Because you thought you had it all together. But again, pride makes you think, I don't need help. I don't need to seek guidance about this. I know how to figure it out. And God's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. So.
Yes. And that's an important key point because that pride can get us in our way. And then we want to blame the enemy. We'll use our situation for us to point a finger at God. Because that was me. I was like, God, how could you allow my father not to be in my life? How could you allow my mom to be in the situation that she was in? But he said, you still had a choice regardless of what your situation was. You still had a choice and you chose to do what you wanted to do. And I showed you options that you had.
So I guess you used to play victim.
Yes.
You avoid responsibility.
You think about this. Didn't the enemy make Eve believe she was a victim?
Yeah.
So we're still dealing with the same thing that happened in the garden. A victim mentality that we're being, God is holding out on us. He's not giving us what we deserve. All these things, which is far from the truth. It's a veil. And God wants us to remove that veil. He's showing us, I'm here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. created you in my image. It's in you.
We have a question.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, what about you? How could you relate to that statement right there?
I think it's that question. I think it's the whole outlook on the situation. If you go into a negative, the enemy will give you a thousand reasons or a negative way to think about it. But if you go into it as what the Lord is trying to teach me, and sometimes it's hard to say that when you're uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable and you're confused, you hurt, you're crying, you're sore, it's hard to be like, what do I need to learn out of if you want to be comfortable and happy? So, but it reminds me like all the hard times I've been like, when I went to jail, I grew up really rough. And I just look at all these times now that I'm doing better, you know, like years later, I go past. I look at this situation like, I got myself in this situation. And how many passes and how much of God's grace did he give me before I even let up to that? And how worse could it have been? So I got to be grateful for that it wasn't worse, basically, you know? So and it made me want to do better now. Yeah.
Yeah, I come to something that you just said, Melissa, kind of brought back something to me, too. It's like the same thing was with me when I was on rock bottom. I said, God, how can you allow me to be like this? How can this happen? And he said, I gave you choices. You didn't take the choices because he said, your spirit was willing.
All right, so we're going to read from verse 5 to 10. Verse 5 to 10. And it talks about pride versus humility. Pride versus humility.
Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By mercy, loving, kindness and truth. Wickedness is cleansed from the heart, and by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income gained with injustice. A man's mind plans his ways as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. A divine decision given by God is on the lips of the kind as his representative. His mouth should not be unfaithful or unjust in judgment.
Wow. You know, one of the key verses that I see here is a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, I can remember, and I was sitting here talking to Melissa about that too, and I was just saying that I'm in this place right now where I'm trying to figure out, all right, what's the next step that God wants me to take? You know, and we can be doing some good things, but not God. You know, and that's the important part, that we spend time with God and hearing what he's saying to us as far as what's next. Not what we want, because what we want is not always what God wants. You know, and that's why just spending that time with him, and I always find myself, if I'm trying to do something my way, and I find I'm struggling in it, I put it on the shelf. I put it on the shelf. I realize that it's not time, it's not the right time, and it's not what God wants. Because one thing about God, he already got things in place. So it's not going to be complicated because you already did the things necessary. And so he's ordered you. It says he's ordered your steps. So the steps are already set in place. So if the step is too hard or too steep, you're not supposed to take that step. You know, and that's what I realized. And this is something that God, and I always go back to this is my testimony. It's not anybody else. God can give me what God has given me. And I realized that when I was away because he gave me that vision of where I see myself at 65. And I had to go to three different boards before I got to that point, even to be free. And each walking to a board, I'm thinking I'm ready. In my mind, I'm ready. But God knew my steps. He knew I wasn't ready. So he had to put the obstacles in my way to keep me from overstepping the boundaries. You know, and too often, we get mad at God when we be praying and asking God for stuff and it don't happen. It's because, not because he don't want you to have it, it's because you're not ready for it. And that's why I tell people, I said, if you're praying and you're asking God for something and you haven't gotten it yet, do some self-evaluation. Look at yourself, because God is not going to give that power to anybody. He's not going to give anybody that power over you. Do that self-evaluating and look at yourself. Look at your inner self. Okay, what do I need to do differently? That's it. What do I need to do differently? And then you will see, once you do that self-evaluating, that man, woman in the mirror, then you will see change. You want to be key points?
Well, for pride and humility.
Pride is offensive to God. He detests arrogance. Humility may seem lowly, but leads to honor and appreciation. Pride blinds us and sets us up for a doubtful lesson. Embrace humility as a lifestyle, not just a virtue. Pride is a silent destroyer. Shun your heart.
Pride is a silent destroyer. Check your heart often. The issues of life is where? In your heart. In your heart. And he's telling us, check our heart often. You know, see, the enemy will fool us with our own pride, with what we desire and how we feel and what we think. And we got to check that. We have to check ourselves often. Amen. Question 3. Are my words healing or hurting the people around me? Are my words healing or hurting the people around me? Too often we say things and we don't even realize how it's affecting the people around us. You know, and when you look at and reflect on Jesus, and he's the only one that we can reflect on, there was nothing he ever said to anybody, even when he was correcting them, that caused them to hurt. What it did was just cause, he spoke in such a manner where you didn't even think you had to question yourself, is he talking about me? You know, and you heard the Pharisees in the scripture say, was that to us? You know, because the way he spoke to people, he spoke in parables because he know people are sensitive. He had to make you really think about what he was saying. He had to make you reflect. Because, and I learned this in business management, that if you come to people and tell them what they're doing wrong, the first thing they're going to do is throw up a roadblock. They're going to throw up a petition. They ain't hear nothing you got to say. They might have heard the first thing you did, and everything else is burned. So they always told us, you always approach with positive. You know, because the reality is, people don't do all things wrong. You know, people don't do all things wrong. We all got faults. So we got to approach things in a positive manner. And I know many of us who work in the job market, your best boss was one who always approached you with a positive. Or even if they corrected you, it wasn't in a negative manner. You know, and you appreciate that. I know I did. You know, and those are people who I emulate. You know, and that's why it's important on how we speak to people. Have anybody here said some words that caused people offense and you didn't even realize it or you didn't pay attention to that? And you know that that's important.
Yeah.
And that's important that you recognize that. Now the key is what you do. You know, because you can't continue to say, I know I'm doing it wrong, and continue to do it, because then it really it becomes meaningless. You know, now if you begin to make change and then when we do things for a period of time, it takes time to undo it. You know, but the key is to start doing it now. When it's faith, now. So if you have faith and believe that you're going to stop being abusive in your manner the way you speak, you got to start now. Don't wait until tomorrow and say, oh, let me get this out today. No, you got to start now. You know, and do your best not to revert back. Because that's what the enemy, he waited for you. He going to test you. As soon as you say, I'm going to make that decision, I ain't going to do it that way no more. He's going to put a test right in front of you that moment to see if you who you say you are.
Yeah, I want to say that basically what you broadcast out comes from within. So it's like from a person who grew a lot, I know that hurt people. And I'm in a better place now. I have so much peace in my life. Like, I live alone, I work alone. I'm not around nobody unless I want to be. And I worked hard to get there. But I know that I have so much peace. I don't want no negativity in my life. So with any negativity that come my way, I want to shut it down or I share my positive one, whether they like it or not. You know what I'm saying? But the old me, I'm telling you, like, I come from to where we're going to talk like crazy to each other. You know what I'm saying? But I was so hurt. I'm thinking I'm getting up on somebody by bringing them down. But now I'm at a place to where it's like, I understand, like, I'm not hurt anymore. I'm at peace. So I'm going to share my peace. And I understand that anybody else that don't see my peace or understand the peace is because they probably still in the dark place. And they help you understand other people better when you get to know yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me, I would say, you know, sometimes it's like, man, you're getting on my nerves. And I'm like, the Lord will challenge you. He challenges me in my walk to say, okay, you know you can't see that. The flesh starts to rise up. Because now, you know, you won't see the other side. You know, the flesh starts to rise up. So it's like, you represent me. How are you going to say that? So the Lord says, when you needed me, I was there. So like how you were saying, you needed me, I was there. And I showed you grace. And I showed you mercy. How dare you not extend that? To someone you see every day in me. You haven't even seen me. But Lord says, that's your challenge. I'm challenging you. What would I do? And if I want my life to be an example of the Lord, then I've got to follow through on how he would respond to the situation. Because like, I thought about the woman at the well. I told her many things about her life. And he wasn't even really supposed to be talking to her. But she was just so amazed at what he was telling her about herself, but like you said, his spin on it and our spin on it are two different things. You know, we would have get with him like how you were saying. But Jesus, I believe he had a gentleness about the truth, about how he told the truth. You know, I can tell you about yourself, but not in a way where I can crush your spirit. You know, that kind of thing. So
you
I'm
think
learning
about
this.
You think about this. That woman at the well, she didn't come when everybody else was there because of the way they spoke or spoke about her. However, he spoke the same thing, but just in
different
ways. And it was in love,
right.
You know, because he understood where she was coming from and what she was looking for. And this is what we have to be mindful of, because see, we don't know why people do this, what they do. Just like he said, hurt people, you know. So sometimes we have to do some self-reflecting on why am I responding in this manner, you know, and as we deal with that, then God can deal with us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because see, we have to be honest with ourselves. He can't help you if you don't know you need help. You know, see, the woman at the well, she didn't recognize the things that she was doing wrong. She didn't see it. She didn't see it in a negative light. She knew it was negative because that's why she avoided other people. But she made an excuse in herself that allowed her to stay where she was at until she met Christ.
So, it was funny that you mentioned that
Jesus
was the woman at the well, because I had read that and heard that story multiple times, but recently I had just heard a different side to it. And the woman at the well was married a few times, five different times, and in just that time that was looked down upon. So you think of a woman being married five times, you're probably thinking what is she doing wrong? Or what is it, you know, maybe she's sleeping around and whatever, she doesn't have a husband. And for the first time I read it from a different angle where it was saying the time you have to think about the times back then. And women were only they only had value with the men they were married to or their sons. And so a woman couldn't divorce her husband, but a husband could divorce the woman, and the husband could divorce the woman because, you know, you don't anything. Literally anything. You're not cooking what I like. You're not doing whatever how I like. Whatever. You can divorce it. So it looks you know, she's been divorced, but this other version was saying she's been let down. She's been abandoned. She, multiple, not one, two, three, four, five times. She's been let, you know, to do things on her own. No, she wasn't protected. That's what it was saying. She wasn't. The men that were around her were letting her down. They weren't protecting her. So now they're at the well, you know, and because of the words of, you know, how people were talking about her, but they're not looking at it really from her point of view. They're thinking she's this, that, you know, sleep. Who knows what they're saying? So she came, you know, she'd come at a different time because then she was by herself. She didn't have to be around the people and what they were saying. And when God, spoke to her, when he brought it to her attention, you know, he said, he knew her, and it wasn't, and he knew she wasn't married, blah, blah, blah. But he was saying, I see that you've been let down. I see your heart. I pretty much, surrender.
He told her to drink from this well.
Yeah.
You'll never run dry.
Yeah.
He said, this is
from
the
him,
living,
yes,
water,
living
that
water
that will never run,
yeah,
dry.
And in him,
yes,
and not the people and what they're saying.
Go.
And all those things that you hear about yourself that you kind of, you almost believe you're not nothing. And that's why you're showing up during the day when nobody is there. But if you,
from the living water,
from him and surrender to him,
that will never run dry.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's so important right there, John, from the comment. It is so important right there because, and that was something we talked about, I think, last week. We talked about your joy and your peace, where you get it from. And your joy and your peace will come from within, not from without. So if you're looking for someone else or something else, you're going to be let down. And he's telling you, your joy comes from within. He already placed it inside of you. It's connected to him. it's all good. Yes. And that's so. It's a process that people get used to doing things. See, we live in a world that don't think about grace. And all it wants to point out what you're doing wrong and then how we're going to fix it. You know, it ain't about what you did right, because it's not like we do a whole bunch of stuff wrong. You know, it's a lot of positive that we do that don't get recognized. And it's important that we recognize the right. And that's what God does. He recognized the righteousness in us through Christ. Not in ourselves, but through Christ. And that's what we got to grab hold of. And I know we're coming towards the end. It's almost that time. But we're gonna close off with this last one. You want to read from verse 12 to 17?
For God is established by righteousness. Righteousness are the delight of peace, and they love him who speaks with his right. As the messenger of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will be. And the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the leopard. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than self. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul.
And I'm going to read from 18 to 20. And it says here, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. He who heeds the word of wisely will find good, and whoever trusts the Lord may be happy is he. Amen. So, a couple of key points here. It says, mercy and truth are part of how sin is dealt with. They reflect God's nature. Mercy and truth. You know, we want God's mercy. We want God's truth. But we don't want to give it. Too often we hold back mercy on other people because of what they've done. But we don't want God to hold back on us. You know, and God is saying he wants us to give that same mercy and truth that he gives us to someone else. He wants us to be the ambassadors here on the earth and give truth and love. God gives us truth and love. We just talked about how Jesus corrects people in love. There's no hurt. There's no condemnation. He just tells them the truth and how to be better. He told Peter, yo, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. And Peter was ashamed. I could imagine, I heard this the other day. Just imagine Jesus showing up and Peter seeing. You think Peter tried to hide? I could imagine he tried to hide because he knew he denied him. He knew he denied him. But Jesus was there with open arm, and when he said, Peter, do you love me? And that's what God is asking us. Do you love me? Yeah, I know you did that, but do you love me? Feed my sheep. Give them what I'm giving you. That's what he's asking us. That's all he wants from us. And then it says here, a small amount gained righteously is better than large gain from injustice. And we live in a society right now was dealing with, like he said, scammers. You hear so much injustice. You turn on the TV now, all you see is injustice. We just got emergency things on our phones because people doing unrighteous things. For what? Gain, right? They're trying to gain. And this is where the enemy is trying to dupe us out at. We had a father come here today. He said, I make good money at my job. He said, but what I realized, he said, this job is demanding 50 plus hours a week from me. He said, and what I'm missing most is spending time with my kids. He said, the money's good. He said, but the value don't outweigh my time with my children. And too often we place our security and our life around the job and people. But we're missing what's most important is the people that God placed in our lives. To pour back into them. And that's what he's talking about right here. Can you read the next one? Good God.
God values honest scale, symbolizing fairness and integrity in business.
Right there, he's talking about honesty. He's talking about honesty. Like, listen, we live in a society that's it's all about what they can make a profit out of. I mean, all of us got cable bills, Verizon bills, all types of bills, and they get money from you every month for a service that's not even worth what it's costing you. It's not worth what it's costing you. And you know it because someone else provides that same type of service for a lower value. But they make you believe they're giving you something more and you pay more for it, but it's the same type of service. You know, and there's so much unfairness and no integrity because it's about the bottom line. And God wants us to live in working fairness and integrity with true honesty. That's the scale he's talking about, that honest scale. Being truthful and honest about how we conducting ourselves and what we're doing. And it's not just about business, it's about life itself. And we're going to close with this last lesson. And it says, live and lead with honesty, faithfulness, and justice, even when it costs. I'm going to say that again. Even when it costs, even when it hurts, even if you got to maybe lose that job, lose that position, lose that person, we got to be honest with ourselves. And it says, the fear of God should guide how we make decisions. And it's not a fear that God is going to strike us down. No. It's a fear of reverence, of not wanting to let him down. Jesus didn't want to let God down. To the point where he went to the cross carrying our sins, not anything that he did. It was for us. And many parents said, you would take stripes for your own children. And that's what God is saying to us. He wants us to have that type of reverence. That we honor him and make decisions that's going to reflect who he is and who he called us to be. And sometimes it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost something that we want, something that we desire, something that we might even believe we're supposed to have. But we got to trust God. If it's for us, it's going to be ours. So with that, family, this was good. And I thank everybody for being a part of this here. And as we say all the time, that the world doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't cost a thing, but you're just spending time with God. However, ministry does cause it. If God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. The information is coming up on the screen. You can sow a seed at any time. And with that, I'm going to ask them if they got any final words, and then we're going to close.
Just even when the cost keeps coming, you can compare it up. Remember that this life of Christ is kind of vain. It's worth it. You know, spending time, sacrificing. Surrender, even when you don't understand, even when you don't see the outcome yet, know that God is working in your favor. That's why the Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His
name. So, with that, family, we're going to close. But we invite you to come out, be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. If God places on your heart, there's a ministry in you, please. Do your duty. Do your due diligence. Allow your ministry to come forth. Amen. On behalf of Dr. Williams, First Lady, the Faith Harvest family, we say God bless. Have a good night.
to rain out there when you came in?
Nah, I wasn't. I hope I was supposed to rain out until tomorrow, I think, though. I'll be out there getting cars. I do more driving and strapping them down. Last year, man, that's heavy. I got one more rain. I had to drive back.
I said, it was that many mics up there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what was that one out in the back row?
We
only used,
what,
three or
four of them?
Four and
two
more. All right, man, we see.